Welcome back to the Wannabe Hunting Podcast. This is your host, Amos Medford. Thank you so much for joining me today, and I have an exciting episode today that I think everyone will enjoy. We're going to take a little break from the turkey series, and I am traveling north of the border by phone to talk to Will DeRover of Bear Beans Coffee. And I think you guys will enjoy this conversation. And I know nothing about bear hunting, so Will kind of gives me a few basics, and we keep it pretty basic, but it was interesting to me to find out a few things and get an idea of how things work. And with that said, Will has some awesome coffee available at bearbeanscoffee.com, so check them out. Link will be in the description of the episode, so definitely want to check out that coffee. It's good stuff. I've had it several times. I'm sure I'll be ordering more, so check that out. And big part of what he does is donating to conservation organizations. It's good stuff, and a portion of the proceeds is definitely going to protecting hunting, so good stuff there. And hope y'all enjoy this conversation with Will DeRover, Bear Beans Coffee. Welcome back to the Wannabe Hunting Podcast, and we're excited today to be joined by Will from Bear Beans Coffee. Will, how's it going, man?
Good. How are you doing today?
I am doing good. Are you getting like snow up there in Canada, or how's it going?
Well, some parts of Canada. I just drove halfway across the country on the weekend, and I hit a bit of everything on the way past. But here in BC, it's like probably almost 20 degrees today and sunny, which 20 Celsius. So I don't know what that would be in Fahrenheit, but it's warm.
Gotcha. Yeah, I have no idea what the conversion is. I gotcha. Cool, man. Well, I appreciate you taking some time, and you're at work and I'm at work. I'm actually on the road making deliveries. So we'll ask everybody to bear with any background noise, but I appreciate you taking some time to join me. Could you just introduce yourself, kind of where you're from, what you got going on? I know you're from the coffee, but, you've got quite a bit going on.
Yeah, for sure. So my name is Will DeRover. I'm a husband, father of three little boys. I have been a hunting guide in previous years, guiding bear hunting. And I also started up Bear Beans Coffee in the last year. And that's what I'm doing right now, as mostly as a passion project and as a way to give back to bear hunting and bear conservation.
Very cool. Yeah, that's awesome, man. I wasn't 100% sure that you used to guide, but I knew you had some ties there. So that's really cool.
Yeah, for sure. So Bear Track Outfitters is the company that I still own part of. And I don't do a ton of guiding there myself, just because it happens to be halfway across the country. But yeah. I still am a part owner there, and Brandon, my business partner, runs a show there, and he does an amazing job.
Okay, so that's very cool. And I was going to get into bear hunting. That's something that, you're very passionate about and working on the conservation aspect of. But, could you kind of tell us the story of, Bear Beans Coffee, the coffee itself and kind of the idea there?
Yeah, for sure. So it was about last October or November, I believe it was, when I first started thinking about this company, Bear Beans. And because of COVID, the borders have been shut down for a couple of years, so we haven't done a lot of bear hunting because all of our clients come from the U.S. And so it's been a slow couple of years for the guiding side of things. So we're trying to think of ways of how to stay involved in bear hunting and maybe find a way to somehow give back to conservation at the same time. And I mean, most of us love coffee, so I figured it'd be just a natural fit. And so I found some a supplier of super good coffee beans, and we got three different kinds of coffee that we provide now. And we give 10%, or depending on how it works, 10% or $1 per bag goes to bear conservation, where we support organizations like Howl for Wildlife and Blood Origins and a bunch of others. And it's been extremely fulfilling to have a business where we provide a good product, and we're also able to give back to hunting conservation, which is super cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. And, I love there's a high level of commitment there. I'm not busting on 2% for conservation at all. They're awesome. But, 10%, that's a big commitment, and that's pretty, yeah. That stands out. And then I've tried all three of the coffees, and they're awesome. So the coffee itself is amazing.
Nice. Which one was?
Our favorite is Spring Awakening.
Nice.
Yep. That's awesome. My wife and I, both of our favorite. We agree on that one.
Oh, that's perfect, man. I'm glad you like it.
Yeah, we're enjoying it. Have you always been like a coffee drinker, connoisseur? Like,
no, not a connoisseur. I've been learning a lot about coffee these last 6 months or so. No, I mean, I've always drank coffee since I was a teenager, but I just drank the crap coffee that you buy at the grocery store. But now that I'm getting into real coffee and good coffee, I'm really having a bit of an awakening on how much crappy coffee I've been drinking in my past.
Yeah, there's a when you finally turn the corner of trying good coffee, it makes. Absolutely makes a difference.
Yeah, 100%. It totally does. I didn't know how big of a difference until we actually started doing this, and I was doing my research on different coffees, and I wanted to have a good one, so it was I went down a bit of a rabbit hole there for a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of the coffee itself, and Bear Bean, is there plans like for more roasts? Are y'all gonna do like some merchandise and stuff like that? Or are you just going to kind of go with the three roasts for now?
We have just the three roasts right now, and I do plan to expand it, but I feel right now these three are real good ones. And I think on the coffee side of things, I'll probably keep it the same for a bit, but yeah, like, like you're saying, I definitely planning on doing some merch. And also I got something going on right now where it's like a little portable filter system that you can buy that would come with the coffee. So you can take it out when you're hunting and make like single serve coffees out in the bush. So it's, you don't have to take all of your coffee making equipment with you, but it's pretty much like instant coffee, but with actually good grounds. So it's, that'll be coming soon.
Okay. That sounds very cool. That sounds like, obviously a good fit for the type of people, buying the coffee, but very useful for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And that's sort of why I'm doing it. Cause even for myself, it's always tough to get good coffee out when you're hunting, and you take these, this instant coffee along, and it's kind of crappy. So then you just end up not taking anything. So I'm trying to find a solution to actually make it easy to get good coffee in the bush.
Nice. Yeah. That's awesome. There's always built-in problems, I guess, when you're going out, especially if it's like for days and stuff like that for something. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool to find a solution.
Yeah, for sure. It's you'll see it coming out in the next little bit. I'm trying to put together the right formulas and everything, and I'll be sharing some videos on Instagram pretty quick here.
Very cool. Now that's a little bit on the coffee, which is awesome. I love it. I've become, I guess, a big coffee drinker. I would have never called myself that, even a few years back. But my wife has always been a very big coffee drinker. So
okay.
The past 5 years have been very, very coffee laden for me.
Nice.
So it's been a good thing.
Cool.
I can tell.
Oh, right on.
Let's talk about bear hunting a little bit. We just barely... no pun intended, touched on the fact that you were a guide, and that you still own, partially own a guiding service. But how did you start bear hunting, and kind of where has that side of the journey taken you?
Yeah, so I didn't actually start hunting till I was around 18 or 19. I didn't grow up hunting. None of my family hunts or anything like that. And my wife was actually the first introduction I've ever had into hunting, because her family hunted. And when I got to know her, then that's when I first was really introduced to it. And we didn't hunt much back then, but then we moved from British Columbia here to Manitoba when we were about 19, 20. And that's actually where I got into hunting a lot more, because we made friends out there that we had a farm, so we would let people come hunt and we would just tag along with them. And that's sort of where we got into it. And that's also how I met my business partner, Brandon, through church, actually. And we hunted together for a bit, and he kind of introduced me to bear hunting. And when we sold the farm, then he had been a guide for years and years. So the idea was that he would bring the experience and we would bring a bit of the capital, and we would buy an outfitter together. And it's, I think it's been 4 or 5 years now, and it's been absolutely amazing. Like, without Brandon, we would have never been able to do it, because his experience and his knowledge on bear hunting is just top notch.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds like, you know, an awesome, awesome partnership. You know, a lot of value alignment, you know, me and the church, but then him kind of being able to really bring the knowledge on bear hunting itself. Like you said, you didn't grow up, you know, hunting. What, do you remember, like, the first time you ever went bear hunting? Was it like just to and from the stand, or did you like go for like a couple days, or how did that work, if you remember?
Well, the funny thing is that I never actually bear hunted before I started bear guiding. So my first bear hunt experience was when I was guiding, or learning how to guide, with Brandon and the guy that we bought the hunting outfitter from. So I was definitely thrown in the deep end with bear hunting. It was gone from never really seeing a bear in the wild to being out there learning how to guide them and seeing multiple bears harvested per week. And it was quite the experience, but man, I was hooked after that first week.
Yeah, that's crazy. man, I don't even know where to start with questions. I literally know nothing about bear hunting. They've had like one bear hunt in the past, I don't know what it is, at least 10 years, probably 20 years here in Florida. So,
oh, wow.
I don't know the exact dates, but there's been like one that, anyway, that's a whole different issue with, that's one reason why it appeals to me, the emphasis on conservation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not that I'm certainly not an expert on numbers and stuff like that, as far as the bear numbers here, but sometimes you see the seasons that get canceled, you know, strictly for political reasons, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, your involvement with like HAL.org and, or HAL for Wildlife and all that, you know, that's a big deal, because you have, you know, like dogs getting snatched off porches and, you know, mm-hmm. bears in the yards. And yet, you know, one group is saying the numbers aren't there and there's no hunts. It's like, I feel like there's a simple solution to this, but people don't want to look at it.
No, exactly. Well, and it's, people won't just listen to the facts and actually listen to the biologists that are telling them what should be happening from a scientific point of view. And yeah, letting those emotions just get involved and getting all political about it. It suffers. The bear population suffer. The ungulate population suffer when we don't manage the predators, and it sucks for hunters, because we're not able to go out and do what we love, which is bear hunting. So
yeah, and, you know, and like you said, think of it in such a way that, like, it's people's, if you own an outfitter, you know, it's literally mm-hmm. livelihood.
Oh yeah,
not thinking about that. There's a whole lot, there's so many levels to it, but
oh, exactly. And I've, like, the bear hunt that got canceled in Washington just recently, that I can't imagine how hard that would be for the outfitters there. Now their bear hunting season got cut down from a spring and a fall season to only a fall season. So pretty much half of their livelihood is gone just like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough, you know, tough for sure. But, kind of getting back to like the hunting itself, you know, kind of want to ask you, you know, do y'all usually hunt with guns or bows, or is there?
Yeah, when we're guiding, we see about, I would say, 50-50 of people coming with bows or guns. And for us, we don't have different seasons. In Manitoba, which is the province where our outfitter is, we don't have a different season for gun and bow for bears. So people can take whatever they want. We see a huge selection of of bows and crossbows and shotguns and rifles and everything you can imagine people come up with. But it tends to be about 50-50 between archery and firearms.
Gotcha.
So yeah, with for a first-time bear hunter, there's a bunch of options, of course. If you're in a place where you're allowed to hunt bears, just like with over-the-counter tags, and you can actually get tags yourself, and you're in an area where you could bait bears, I would say baiting is one of the best ways to successfully harvest a mature bear, and it's one of the reasons why we use bait in Manitoba, which is you can bait them and you can get the bears coming in front of you, and you can really pick and choose which bears you take, so you can do real good on the conservation side and make sure you're not shooting an immature boar or a sow. You can take your time choosing that big mature boar that is at the good point in his life where he's spread his genetics around and he's had a good life and he's ready to pack it in, so to speak. I would say baiting is one of the best ways for conservation hunting for sure. And so I'll just give a typical rundown of what we do at Bear Track, just as an overview.
Okay.
on a typical bear hunt. So we'll do our pre-baiting like 2-3 weeks before actual hunting starts. So we'll get bait out there, and our bait consists of trail mix, peanut butter, and all sorts of good stuff like that.
Right.
So we'll do that 2-3 weeks before we start hunting, and we'll set up cameras and whatever else so we can start to see what's going on. And then when we actually start hunting, we'll go in a couple days before, rebait everything so that the bears have fresh food. And then on the day of, we don't usually start hunting till about 2 p.m. because we find the best activity is around late afternoon to evening, when it's starting to get dark, is when the big ones start coming out.
Right.
So our hunters usually are in the stand from anywhere from 2 p.m. till 8 or 9 or 10, whenever it gets dark, depending on what time of year it is. And our tree stands are usually set up about 20 to 30 yards from where the bait is, so you have a good look at the bears and you're able to judge them, which is one of the most difficult animals to judge is a black bear. But we have 55-gallon drums that our bait sits in, and it makes it somewhat easier, especially when the barrel is still standing straight up, to judge what size the bear is. If it's, depending on how many rings up the barrel it's standing, if its back is flush with the barrel, then if you don't shoot it, we're gonna call you an idiot, because that's a monster. So usually we've had extremely good success in the last couple of years at Bear Track, and most of our hunters are tagged out by Wednesday, Thursday of a full week hunt. So it's been unreal, and especially I'm looking forward to this year, because with 2 years of COVID and no bear hunting, we're going to be pulling some absolute giants and beautiful bears out of there.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some pretty cool looking bears. You know, I'm sure with all the bears you've seen harvested, you've seen some of the like blonde ones and like different stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure. The coolest one I've ever seen was almost like red. It was like it was crazy. I can't remember what the name of it is, but it was like a red color, which I've never seen before on a bear on pictures or anything, but it was unreal.
Wow, that's cool. And then one of the cool things about bears, like, you know, I'm learning this from, like, you know, Instagram or whatever, but you know, it seems like much more of the bear gets used as compared to like some of the other game, like with the fat and all that, you know?
Oh yeah. The bear fat has a ton of uses. We actually at Bear Track, we collect all the fat and we send it to a local company that makes it into bear grease. They use it for skin, for people use it on their skin as like a cream. And you can also, they make it into wax for candles, and they do all sorts of cool stuff with bear fat, and it can get rendered into cooking oil and use it as cooking oil as a replacement for butter when you're frying stuff up. And it's actually one of the best things to cook food in as opposed to butter. So it's we use every last bit that we possibly can from a bear.
Yeah, that's super cool. That's that's definitely interesting to me to try. What's kind of along that same line when it comes to like eating bear? What's maybe your, you know, like with whitetail, it's easy enough to talk about backstrap or whatever, but probably your favorite way to prepare, you know, bear.
Yeah. So with bear, you really want to do it low and slow if you can, to get out the, it can be a bit tough if you don't prepare it properly. And if you rush it, but I've had extremely good luck with marinating it for up to 72 hours and then doing it in a slow cooker, make it into a bunch of different stuff, roasts and like pulled pork style. It can be absolutely amazing. And I actually fed it to my family, like my extended family, as for Thanksgiving a couple of years ago, and they couldn't tell the difference. They didn't know if it was pork or what until I told them. So it was it was great.
Awesome.
For sure. Cool, yeah, a lot of people have reservations about eating bear, but if you prepare it properly, and as long as you're not shooting bears that are living on a dump, then bear meat is some of the best meat there is.
Right. Yeah, no, that's good to know. Is the terrain in Manitoba, like where that, we know where y'all are there, is that like, would that be considered pretty mountainous, or is it
no, absolutely not. In Manitoba, it's about, I would say, a third of the way up Manitoba if you look at it on a map, between the two big lakes there, Lake Winnipeg and Lake Manitoba. So it's completely flat, actually. It's all thick bush and swamps, and there's a lot of like ridges that run through the swamps, and the bears love to travel those ridges. We have a lot of our bait sites set up there on those ridges, and when I say ridges, they're like a couple feet tall, not a big tall ridge. So it's just a dry spot in the swamp that they run through there. There's like sand ridges that I'm not sure how those were created back in the day, but somehow they, and the bears love to travel up and down those, so they're not walking through the swamp.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Now, you know, here in Florida, I can actually, I can kind of see what you're saying about a 3-foot ridge. So I'm with you.
Well, here, where I live here in BC, it's very different. Obviously we got the mountains here, and where I hunt personally nowadays is it's all spot and stalk hunting, and we'll go up on a ridge and glass for bears for days. And that's the kind of hunting that I do personally here, just because I don't have access. We're not allowed to bait bears here in BC. So it's the only option we have.
Okay, I gotcha. Yeah, I've probably watched like some videos of guys doing maybe that style of hunting before, which seems pretty cool in its own way, you know.
Yeah, for sure. It's just different, you know, and it can be more difficult to judge the size of a bear when you have nothing to to gauge it against. And sometimes you'll be sorely disappointed on the bear you thought was a monster ends up being pretty small. And that's why bait hunting is it can be better that way. Like I was mentioning earlier, where you can really take your time and gauge the bears and see which ones you're shooting, and try to pick and choose which ones you're taking.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, someone like, if I was going to come up there, you know, just the travel expenses and all, you know, it'd be a pretty big deal, you know? And so if you're coming up there for a week or 3 days or something like that, you know, you want to have a pretty high percentage of getting up. I mean, you know, that
for sure.
That could get pretty crazy if you're, you know, trying to do that year after year. And then, you know, the harvest rate is only like, you know, 25% or something like that.
No, so at Bear Track, our harvest rates are incredibly good. They're like in the high 80s to 90s%. And the guys that don't shoot bears, they're doing it by choice. It's not that they're not seeing them. So we say there's pretty much 100% opportunity to harvest, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the guys always do. If they're looking for a specific color or a specific bear, then they might come back the next year looking for it again. But a typical hunt, it's at Bear Track, it starts hunters usually show up Sunday and leave Saturday, so it's a full like 5 days, six nights kind of deal. And right now we're running $3,600 for that, and that includes absolutely everything. So you show up in camp and we take care of your hunting license, and we'll pick you up and drop you off at the airport if you're flying. Transportation to and from your bait sites and everything. We'll take care of handling your meat and the trophy, the hide. We'll take care of it all. We can even get it ready to go and send it to our taxidermist, who we use for all of our stuff, if you'd like that, because some guys don't want to have the risk of taking their hides down with them and they can't get it to a taxidermist soon enough. And if the hide gets too warm, the hair will start falling out and it'll turn into real ugly ones. So
I gotcha. That's awesome. I mean, to have literally everything, completely covered. That makes that way you just don't have to worry about it. I don't know.
Exactly. You can do these lower price hunts where you have to bring all of your own stuff and it's like semi-guided. But I just don't see the appeal to that much, other than that it's cheaper. But is it really cheaper when we take care of all of your food and we give you lodging and you can even take out our boat to go fishing in the mornings or whatever? It's all included in that price. You show up in Manitoba and you don't pay a cent until you leave again. So
yeah, that's definitely cool. How do the season dates work? Like, how long is it? A couple months, or how does it usually run?
Yeah, so we can officially start bear hunting earlier, like in April, but we don't run our actual guiding season starts in first week of May and goes till about June 20th for the spring season, just because the ice is still on the lake and there's a lot of snow in early April. So we try to keep it to that first week of May. And then in the fall, we go from August 30 till October 15, so about a month and a half again.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah,
and I'm guessing that those end up being times with like pretty good weather up there. Like, that's probably a good time.
Yeah, in the spring it can be absolutely beautiful. It can be hot, and that can actually be a problem sometimes when it's too hot and the bears won't move till late at night. But the spring in Manitoba is a beautiful time for sure.
That's awesome. Well, that's cool, man. I appreciate you answering some of my questions. I, like I said earlier, you know, I don't know anything about bear hunting and very little about bears. So, it's very interesting to me. I've seen a few bears, like I've had a few on trail camera, here that are, I mean, they look huge to me. They're probably not, I don't know if they're really that big or not, but I saw one crossing the road in broad daylight one time.
Okay.
On the way driving from where I live in Northeast Florida over toward the Tampa area where my parents live, and in between there, and that was a big bear. Like I said, I don't know how it would compare to, like, as far as like trophies or whatever.
Yeah, but
he was kind of not really running, but jogging or whatever they do. I mean, when he had like his back paw out and his front paw out, he was like across the whole lane of trap, of the road. That's a big bear.
Absolutely. That's a big one for sure.
but no, that's pretty cool. Mostly I wanted to ask you about bears and, the coffee, which we kind of answered those questions.
Mm-hmm.
Do you hunt other animals? Do you get after other stuff when you have time? Or I know you're busy, but
yeah, for sure. I try to get out a couple times per year and do a like a week-long mule deer hunt, and then I'll try to get out for moose later in the season, November-ish. But I definitely focus a lot on bears, and especially in the spring, of course, because that's we only have bears to hunt here in BC. In the spring, we don't have turkeys or anything. It'd be like probably a 12 or 15 hour drive to get to where we could hunt turkey. So it's a bit of a trek. So bears are only spring animals. So I'm looking to get out here in the next, either this weekend or next weekend, for my first bear hunt of the season. So hopefully see some pictures, rolling out pretty quick here.
Nice. That'll be awesome. Good. Good luck.
Thanks, man.
Cool, man. Well, I just want to give you a chance, you know, here to tell everybody where to find you and anywhere you want to direct them, obviously, to the coffee, to Bear Track Outfitters, you know, and anything you want to add, if there's something that you're dying to say that I didn't ask about or anything like that, you know, I'd love for you to just add whatever you want and let us know where to find everything you have going on.
Yeah, absolutely. So for bear hunting, and if you're looking to do a guided trip in Manitoba and get to meet Brandon and do some absolutely unreal bear hunting, then you can check him out at beartrackoutfitters.com or Bear Track Outfitters on Instagram, and let them know I sent you. And for the coffee side of things, you can go to bearbeans.com for our website, or follow us on Instagram at bearbeans.coffee. And I'd also like to say to anyone listening, please check out Howl for Wildlife. I believe their website is just howl.org now. Follow them and take action on all their action items that they have to help hunters around the country. So if we all help each other out, we can beat back some of these anti-hunter people and get some wins for hunting. So do that if you're able, please.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to piggyback on the howl.org, which I think when I first looked them up, they were not quite that easy to find. So mm-hmm. It's awesome to hear that they got that.
Yeah, for sure.
But I definitely want to just piggyback on what you said and encourage everybody to go there, because it's so easy the way they lay it out for you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, it's very easy to participate and, you know, help the voice of hunters to be heard, because we all know that, you know, the other side is really good at being loud. So we've got to do what we can. And there's an organization that sets it up at your fingertips very easy.
Absolutely. So, for sure.
Because I know, you know, for someone like me, I'm all for conservation, I'm all for hunting, but I'm like, I don't know who to send the emails to, or I didn't know
for sure
something going on in Washington State. You know, we're mm-hmm. polar opposite ends of the country. And exactly. They're able to bring it to your attention and set you up to where you can take action very, very simply.
Yeah, for sure. No, they're great.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, man. Well, I will let you get back to your work, and I will do the same. But thanks for carving out a few minutes for me, and maybe we can do another one sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks a lot, Amos. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. You have a good one.
You too. See ya.
Just want to say thank you one more time for tuning in to the Wannabe Hunting Podcast. Thanks so much for listening to this episode, and I enjoyed talking with Will, and I think y'all will enjoy his coffee if you get a chance to order some. I have definitely enjoyed it, so give it a try. And I was you know, interested to learn some about bear hunting. It's not something that is available in the state of Florida at the moment, and just not something I've ever gotten into or gotten the opportunity to try, but very interesting, and it's cool to hear from him. So thanks again for tuning in, listening, supporting everybody who has followed along, and really appreciate it. And we're looking forward to keeping on bringing some great guests in and talking hunting. So everyone have a good day. For those whose turkey hunting seasons are rolling along, good luck to y'all. For those with some spring bear seasons, definitely good luck to y'all. And as always, honor God, work hard, have fun, and keep hunting.